and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. In about a decade, there will be roughly 31 million Americans who are older than 75. But there may not be enough doctors who specialize in their care. To meet that demand, the American Geriatric Society estimates medical schools would have to train more than 6,200 additional geriatricians per year. That's about 450 more than what we see now. So what's causing the shortage? Let's talk about it. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are University of Cincinnati College of Medicine, Chief of the Office of Geriatric Medicine, and Martha Betty Simmons, Endowed Chair in Geriatric Medicine, Dr. Irene Hamrick. Welcome, Dr. Hamrick.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Assistant Professor of Family and Community Medicine, Dr. Mike, excuse me, I was worried about your last name and I got the first name wrong. Dr. Mark Helsley. Welcome, Dr. Helsley.
Thank you for having me.
And family medicine resident, Dr. Anna Schweikert. Welcome, Dr. Schweikert.
Thank you for having me.
Join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and get some of those into the show. So let's just start with some more of those statistics about this situation. According to MarketWatch, as of last year, there were only about 7,300 certified geriatricians in the U.S. About 30% of people 65 years and older will need to be cared for by a geriatrician, according to the American Geriatric Society's Geriatrics Workforce Policy Studies Center. But only one geriatrician can care for a patient panel of about 700 people. That means there should be at least 20,000 geriatricians for the more than 14 million older Americans living today. So let me just open it up to you all. What's going on exactly?
Well, I'll start here. I think the population, of course, is aging, and we all need health needs. We all have health care. And so as we get older, we need providers to care for that. It's not always the most glamorous specialty to focus on, even though it is a very rewarding specialty. I'm happy for the ones that we do provide. But I think we were just speaking earlier that we need to have everyone be comfortable with caring for our older patients, regardless if they're a geriatrician or not, because they're going to be coming to our offices regardless.
So part of this is the fact that this large generation that we call the baby boomers are entering the next phase of their lives. And so we maybe not had this number of older patients before. So it's just a math problem right now. I'm wondering if, and I think you touched on this a little bit, Mark, that is this line of medicine, this specialty, less attractive to students in medical school?
Well, as someone who was just a student in medical school a few years ago, I would say that we got a lot less exposure to geriatrics as a specialty. I was just exposed during a two-week elective to geriatrics as a specialty. Now, we see geriatric patients throughout our medical school careers, but there's not really a lot of focus time on that and exposure to it, whereas other specialties we're spending months on even. So I think part of it is just, you know, exposing it as a field or a career option to students.
So what's happening then in the medical college world that either incentivizes or at least more heavily promotes the geriatrician field?
There is so much pull towards curriculum that nobody wants to give up their curricular time. And therefore, adding geriatrics time is really, really challenging. But I agree with you. We need to just carve out, because all of us will be seeing patients in geriatrics, and it needs to be incorporated into the medical school education so that surgeons are also equipped to treat older adults adequately and well.
If I can add on to that, one of the focuses is being able to train students in my office is we want to make sure when we do have those patients that come in, that the student may not be interested in geriatric medicine. They may be interested in pick your specialty. But if I can bring up topics that would be an interest to whatever the specialty they're interested in, and how does it relate in a geriatric context, that gets more people thinking about, all right, this is going to be an issue we're going to have to deal with for the rest of my career, and I can hopefully help gain that comfort level with the geriatric, even though we don't have necessarily a 2 week or a 4 week or a 2 month rotation during their training.
The healthcare of older adults is often covered by some of the federal programs, Medicare, for example. Is that something that disincentivizes people from going into this field a little bit, and the fact that as a doctor they would be probably compensated less than some of the other specialties?
Yeah, usually private insurance pays more than Medicare does, and that is the reason that geriatricians earn less than other providers. And that is probably the biggest burden or the biggest hurdle for medical students or residents to choose geriatrics as a career. Hopefully that will change. If we could change some of the codes that we can bill for older adults, then that would incentivize us or would pay us more, and then that would incentivize students to go into the field.
What are the consequences if there aren't enough specialist doctors for the increasing senior population?
I think isolation. Our patients, if they don't have a geriatric doctor or a doctor who's comfortable managing patients with complex medical problems, they don't get the care. And as such, we know our population is aging healthier, but that's partly due to the fact that the doctors are providing good care for them. If we stop providing good care, they're not going to continue to age healthily. They'll get sicker. And then when they do establish themselves with the medical establishment, they'll be sicker and harder to care for. It'd be a cycle, a vicious cycle that we'll have to really work hard to reverse.
What are the areas that geriatricians specialize in? I mean, I guess, what does it mean to be a geriatrician? What are some of the ailments you can expect the folks to come in with that probably need that type of specialized attention?
Probably cognitive impairment, dementia, frailty. And as geriatrician, I usually care for the most frail of my older adults, because the healthier ones I just send back to their primary providers then.
According to some statistics from the American Geriatric Society, Ohio has 224 certified geriatricians in the state. Kentucky has 55, and Indiana has 87. This shortfall is also related to this baby boomer population. So we've mentioned already that we have this large population, this large generation reaching this age. And have the number of students coming out of medical school at the same time just not kept pace? Is that the situation?
Well, I think part of it is to get to geriatrics, you don't graduate medical school and go into geriatrics. You first go into a primary care field, which is becoming somewhat less attractive to students that graduate with large amounts of debt. And like we've already said, primary care doesn't quite pay the same that maybe cardiology or surgery or something like that might pay. So to get someone to go into primary care and then do an extra year of fellowship and, you know, again, getting paid at a much lower salary than they might in a specialty field for that extra year, it's maybe less attractive to people that have a large amount of debt coming out of medical school.
I also wonder if there are some positives associated with that, even though we've got this large generation of older adults now, and maybe we don't have enough people going into the geriatric specialty field. But I read an article published at the Washington Post last year in 2018. It says, quote, "Many of today's older Americans are healthy, vigorous, and mentally sound with no urgent need to change doctors. They aren't afflicted with age-related diseases or functional impairments, and this raises interesting questions about when and whether those 65 and older need to make that switch." So I guess my question then is there simply less demand for geriatric medical services because more adults are living healthier and living longer?
I don't think there's less demand. If we do our job, we're going to have people live older, and they will need us eventually. And so just because they're not sick doesn't mean that's a failure. That's actually a success. And so I think that's the success of primary care. One of the things I cherish, and this is what you get to cherish in geriatrics, is that relationship you develop with your patient. That's best developed over years. And so if you have a younger person that you develop that relationship over years, you can develop that after they turn whatever year we use as the time frame for geriatrics, but we can still be a geriatrician to them.
I read something similar to that sentiment also that I wanted to bring up, that some younger patients, and that may not necessarily mean young adults, mm-hmm. but people who are younger than the target demo for a geriatric doctor, that some of these younger patients are turning earlier to geriatric certified doctors for that reason, because they know that when they reach that age and then have those needs, they'll be able to stick with that medical provider in their later years. Is that something you're seeing also?
Yes, I'm seeing a lot of, I have new patients. I've recently moved to the area and they see my training and they come in and they only have a problem or two, but they just say, I like your credentials. I like what you've done. I don't need you now, but I'd rather get started now. And I guess it just gives me a time to get to cherish that relationship.
So they know when it goes downhill that you'll
be
there ready to help.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment for us. We'll go to the phones now. We have Maureen on the line. Hi, Maureen. How are you? What's your question or comment?
I am well. Thank you for working on this topic. My comment is that my mother passed at a relatively early age, but she had lots of issues with her lungs and heart as well as. And towards the end of life, we had a hard time coordinating between the different specialists. And she had a great primary care doctor, but I was wondering if geriatric doctors are able to coordinate the specialists any better than primary care doctors can.
All right, Maureen, we appreciate the call. We'll hang up and let the panel talk. So I guess the problem that she's talking about is that there were a lot of doctors involved for her mother. So how do you coordinate all that, and are there ways to improve that?
Most primary care doctors do a very good job in managing the various specialties and specialists in the care of their older adults and are fully capable of doing that. However, you know, everybody is a little bit different. Every provider is a little bit different. If you are concerned about the orchestration of that team of doctors in the care of your older adult, ask them to consult a geriatrician. And sometimes we'll just come in and say, everything is good. Keep going with your primary care doctor and we'll pull back out. Sometimes we come in and can make a difference. It just depends on the provider and on the situation and the complexity of the patient.
Well, we know that the three of you have gone through a lot of education to be able to talk about this and to be able to work with this population in the field that you do. But what about the patients themselves, or maybe before they become this age of patient? Is there a need for better discussion and education in the public about the needs that you may have when you start to get a little bit older?
I think absolutely. I think the time to be talking about these issues is before they arise. So, you know, yearly visits with your physician and talking about planning ahead, I think, is one of the most important things that someone can do for their health, so that you've thought through some of these things and discuss them with your physician about what do you picture your older life looking like. I think that's really important.
So where do you find these resources? Where should people turn when they think, well, you know, I'm 50, you know, so I'm getting to the idea where I'm going to get older at some point. I'd like to be healthy as I start to age. Where do I go? Is it a conversation that you can have with just your physician?
I believe this is one of the conversations I have with my patients. Say they're 50 and we start talking about health maintenance issues. I like to talk about, well, how often, what tests do you need to have to prevent issues or to find issues early? And how long do we keep on doing these screening tests? And it just leads to a conversation. At some point, we talk about end-of-life issues. A good physician will listen when the patient brings up an issue that they're concerned about talking about, and will address that. And I think a wellness exam once a year, that's a great opportunity for the patient and their physician to discuss those issues.
513-419-7100 is the number. Back to the phones. We've got John Franco on the phone. John, how are you? What's your question or comment?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm a practicing geriatrician. I'm actually taking the day off. But one of the big disincentives in the care of geriatric patients is time, especially in the outpatient setting, where you have to listen to a multiplicity of problems and address them in probably one visit and in a longer period of time. And physicians are not reimbursed based on time. You're reimbursed based on volume, at least currently. So I just wanted to add that comment because I think that creates a lot of issues. I experienced that in my own practice many years ago. I would probably see half the number of patients than my associates just because I spent time with these patients who had multiple issues.
We appreciate that call very much. Thanks for the perspective. That's got to be something to consider.
I totally agree. And that is a big disincentive, yes.
Because, I mean, how much time are we talking here? Do these visits tend to last?
At least twice as much than what younger patients, and many times many more. You know, when I see a young person for a sinus infection, it takes just a few minutes. But if I see an older patient, I have dementia, they might have difficulty expressing themselves. So that alone takes longer, but then many other medical problems.
We've talked a little bit about the education for patients and maybe the need to drive some students into this field as well. But what about for people who aren't patients yet and aren't in medical school, but they are caregivers or they want to be caregivers? Are there some steps that they should take to be better equipped to deal with this senior population ahead of needing medical visits?
Well, I would say taking care of yourself is the most important thing that you can do as a caregiver, first and foremost. You can't take care of anyone if you're not taking care of yourself. And, you know, I know there's a lot of support groups out there and, you know, just planning ahead with the person that you're caring for, I think, can make things easier when difficult decisions arise one day, planning ahead with that person that you're going to be caring for.
And Mark, earlier in the interview, you mentioned isolation as a possible consequence of this. So I'm wondering if, you know, as we're discussing the lack of specialized doctors, do we also need to acknowledge a lack of personal caregivers?
Definitely. And I think we need to support the community organizations that are available for our patients. Doctors can't provide every aspect of care every day of the week, every minute. And so we depend on family members. That's how most of my patients do. But sometimes families aren't lucky enough to have a caregiver who's close by, who's willing and able to take care of this. So this isolation of how we develop these connections and how do we support them as a society is really important.
I'm wondering if there are any medical issues that are emerging. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
80% of caregivers are women in childbearing age. And in another 5 years, there will be more older adults that require care than there are women in childbearing age, so that will be an inflection point. So that's going to meet, we're going to reach a critical point there. Luckily, we're aging healthier, and hopefully by staying fit, exercise, eating a healthy diet, controlling blood pressure, we can all age healthier.
Our thanks to Dr. Irene Hamrick, Dr. Mark Helsley, and Dr. Anna Schweikert for talking to us about this today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.